Hi, this is Melinda Hofstede. I'm resigning from the City Council. Over the last 8 months, there have been 4 failed recall efforts and now a 5th, and a promised 6th one based on nothing but slander and falsehoods, and my husband and I have had enough. I've never been afraid to speak up when I think the public's best interest isn't being met, and that has ruffled some feathers along the way. I've worked hard to be informed so I can represent the public the best I can. Since day one, I've been bullied, told to be quiet, harassed, singled out with violations of Robert's rules, and treated as a second-class counselor. In other words, no women need to apply unless they leave their intelligence and experience at the door and bring with them a rubber stamp that says anything you want inscribed on it. No questions, just vote yes. Then in October, Sarah Stoner was elected, and both of us have been subjected to the most vile kind of gender-based and sexual harassment by some in the male-dominated good old boys club. After 24 years of legislative employment and elected office, I am flabbergasted to find that some of our male leaders still act like they are at a college frat party and anything goes with the girls. Any behavior, any language, any vulgar and disrespectful treatment is okay. As a community, is this how we want our daughters, wives, and mothers to be treated? I'm certain it's not. For the past 3 election cycles, the voters have spoken clearly that they want more conservative spending by defeating all but one of the incumbents. The members named in the many recall attempts have been able to accomplish what we believe the people sent us to City Hall to do, but it's been a struggle with obstruction from our former manager and some individuals within city government who do not like the idea of being directed to be more fiscally accountable. I believe it's that deep conflict more than any other we are seeing flaring up at the council level. We have a dedicated and excellent city workforce, and their jobs are important. If this means not adding a new vehicle to the motor pool or not building a $5 million office building to maintain each job, I believe this is the right direction to move in. If we don't exercise reasonable restraint, the community will need to vote to lift the mill cap and pay significantly higher property taxes and potentially higher sales taxes. With only 1,200 property taxpayers, the cost of doing business going up each year, business as usual just isn't a choice, and it's this way with me or without me on the council. Unfortunately, there's a small but vocal group of people who are determined to destroy certain councilors. This group's harassing and unrelenting hate campaign is destructive and has been like a steady dose of poison dripping into our community. No wonder things are so divisive and ugly. That's exactly what hate mongering does. Over the past weeks alone, the checkers at the grocery store wanted to call the police so that my gentle and kind husband Albie and I could exit the store without harassment. Our house has been egged, and I have been followed by a city employee who has harassed me and verbally threatened me. And I've also been the subject of vile language in the council chambers by an 83-year-old man. Isn't this the same politics of personal destruction Governor Sarah Palin has been speaking out against? Hey, folks, we're just volunteers volunteering our time trying to serve you. If you can't attack the message successfully, just harass, slander, and shred the person, irregardless of truth, fairness, or the facts. To prove my point, the last 2 recall petitions list dates during which I was allegedly meeting in secret with 3 other counselors in locations in Petersburg. One date was January 26th. I left for Juneau for medical on January 25th, the day before, and I was undergoing surgery at Bartlett Hospital on January 26th. The next date a violation supposedly occurred in Petersburg was on January 29th. I was still in Juneau on official city business with Councillor Stoner, our lobbyist, and Councillor Jensen, meeting with the legislature, and did not return until January 31st. How could Sarah Stoner and I be participating in an Open Meeting Act violation in Petersburg and be in Juneau on official city business at the same time? Additionally, Lee Corio was also not in Petersburg at that time, but he was at a conference in Anchorage. There's been no violation of the Open Meetings Act, period. Not ever, period. In contrast to this behavior, I don't see Sarah Stoner, Lee Corio, Bob Nielsen, or myself playing loose with the truth, refusing to be open by hiding behind the law, and leaving town without ever letting people know why he was terminated like our former manager did, lying and slandering others, or lurking and following counselors' movements with clipboards writing down their every move trying to get the goods on them. This would be laughable if it weren't so pathetic and actually embarrassing. Rumors abound that replacing the manager will cost the citizens of Petersburg hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is absolutely not true. The severance package with Mr. Underkoffler was $69,000. The interim manager is being paid the same salary that Underkoffler received, and hopefully the new manager will be found quickly and for relatively little expense. Mr. Underkoffler was a liberal spender, and the counselors now being attacked held him back from many millions of dollars of what we considered excessive and unnecessary spending. If he had had his way, we would have had a $4.7 million cruise ship dock at Petrodock that would have very likely raised the harbor mortgage fees at least 30% for everyone to pay additional depreciation, insurance, and staff increases. Instead, we are using grant money to proceed ahead with the commercial dock, which will have accommodations for cruise ships, as well as a drive-down ramp and sorely needed commercial facilities for our fleet. We would be building a new electric office building at approximately $5 million that would have most certainly increased electric rates substantially on industry, business, and individuals. Underkoffler did not support cutting the budget by 5% as we did, and he did not support reductions to the motor pool as we did. Again, there's no factual basis that the four counselors who voted to terminate Mr. Underkoffler are costing the city hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why, the fact is we prevented at least $6 million of excessive city spending this year. Some have said this council hasn't done anything worthwhile. I disagree, and here's a list of the hard-fought accomplishments that we have done on your behalf. Finally, after 11 years of problems with our Cabin Creek Water Project, a proper repair is underway. We initiated Ruth Lake permitting, but we initiated budget reductions of almost 5% instead of a budget increase of almost 10% yearly while maintaining every city position. We hired a new assessor to more fairly value your properties. We kept the increases in utilities to the minimum increase rather than the higher one proposed earlier by staff. We lowered the mill rate for property taxpayers. We started a savings account for the schools for the time when timber receipts will run out. We changed the makeup of the motor pool committee to include members of the public, and we completed the power line to Frederick Point. I'm proud of these accomplishments, and I wish to thank my family and those who have shown support for my efforts. May God help healing come to our community.